Melissa Harris Perry in for Tanzina Vega. In Minnesota, Native American activists and protesters have gathered to stop construction of the Line 3 pipeline by Enbridge, a Canadian-based company. According to the New York Times, the pipeline would carry oil from Canada to Wisconsin through tribal lands and watersheds, where critics are worried leaks or spills could taint rivers and damage the environment. This project would replace and expand an older pipeline and move hundreds of thousands of barrels of oil every day. President Biden has positioned himself as a defender of the environment, so many are watching to see how his administration will respond to the Line 3 pipeline protests and the calls to protect the environment. With me now is Marionette Pember, national correspondent for Indian Country Today and a citizen of the Red Cliff Band of Wisconsin Ojibwe. Mary, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Hi, good to be here.
Mary, you were just in Minnesota and you were covering the Line 3 pipeline protests. Talk to me about what protesters are hoping to accomplish.
The water protectors, I think they're hoping to stop Line 3 at this point. It's 60, according to Enbridge, it's 60% finished. So that would, you know, at this point, I think it would require a presidential action, or there are some lawsuits ongoing right now. I think basically, you know, they're wanting to do anything that they can to stop the pipeline construction.
So the water protectors have really been at the forefront of this work now for at least in public media for quite some time. Can you walk us through what protesters and members of Indigenous communities are worried about when it comes to the construction and use of this particular pipeline?
Well, there's always, of course, there's always potentially a leak. The pipeline, Enbridge has framed it as a quote-unquote replacement based on safety issues, that the existing pipeline is old and corroding. However, this is actually a new pipeline. This is there was a project that they tried to do similar called the Sandpiper Pipeline. What they're creating is a pipeline that's a larger gauge, greater circumference, so that it could carry tar sands oil. So I think that, you know, they have proven themselves really masterful at creating, you know, public narrative and framing things in ways that are more favorable to them. So tar sands oil is especially difficult to clean up. I don't know if you may recall that there was a spill in Michigan back in 2010 that, you know, a great deal of pipeline, this tar sands oil was spilled and really had a devastating impact on the environment. So the greatest concern for Native people is, of course, the pipeline potential for accidents going through their ceded treaty territories on which they have rights to hunt, fish, and gather. And it would endanger the environment. And I think also both Native people and non-Native people are concerned about the longer term implications of spending a great deal of money on this kind of an infrastructure that's based on long-term vision and usage of fossil fuels. And the money would be better spent on using some sort of and furthering some sort of sustainable energy sources.
So can you talk to me a little bit about the Biden administration response or lack of response to these protests?
Well, yeah, there's been pretty much a lack of response. I think it's rather difficult for him. You know, he has, I think, a great deal of, you know, ties to labor. And I think perhaps based on that, that has maybe underscored his reluctance to act.
Can you say a little bit more about that relative to the ties to labor? Because I have seen some of the Enbridge responses saying, well, we've hired companies that, you know, that are owned by Indigenous folks and we're, you know, we're hiring workers who are Indigenous folks. And so it does feel like they're making a claim to sort of a transaction between labor jobs and environmental security.
Yes, they have been really masterful at forwarding, you know, those claims. They actually have created an Indigenous people's policy, they're calling it, in which they say that they support United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, which was adopted in 2007. And the first element of the declaration is to receive that corporations or any sort of project should receive free prior informed consent before they go forward. And they say that they support it, but then in the same document, they say, well, it's not legally binding. So I guess they just say it, but they don't do it. Which is kind of a striking thing. And they have hired some Native people. And that's the thing I think is very important about this project. You know, Native people are not a monolithic group, just like every other, you know, community and population. Some people are, you know, support things, some people don't. And they have done, Enbridge has done a very good job, I think, of exploiting those differences. There's a great need of jobs in the area. And of course, you know, exacerbated by the pandemic. And some people have been forced into a corner and have taken these jobs, even though I think there are some Native people who do work for Enbridge, either in a direct capacity or as contractors. You don't really see a whole lot of people that are, you know, really on their bully pulpit supporting the pipeline. It's imbued with a lot of ambivalence. Many people feel that they don't have any choice. And I think it's not just the Native people. I think it's the people, the community in general along the pipeline route in northern Minnesota. There aren't a great deal of jobs. I mean, this is in the north. People rely on tourism. And people feel as though, you know, they really don't have a lot of choice. So it's rather a complex issue.
Indeed. And I absolutely understand the points that you're making, having lived in Louisiana along those fence line communities where folks are working for oil companies, because that's what the work is, at the same time that they are acknowledging the health consequences for living in those communities, right, from those polluters. So it's a long-term and a multi-pronged and, as you said, complex issue. So talk to me about what the protesters have so far been able to achieve.
Well, you know, it hasn't just been quote unquote protesters, and we prefer to actually call them water protectors. People have been opposing this pipeline for years and been going through all of the entire legal process, and now are sort of at the, you know, we're down to the wire. People are, you know, actively putting their bodies on the line. So I think that, you know, they're at this point where they feel like, you know, this is at this point, there's really kind of nothing to lose.
Marionette Pember is a national correspondent for Indian Country Today and a citizen of the Red Cliff Band of Wisconsin Ojibwe. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Good to be here.